Our reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 11, starting at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
Phil, thank you for reading that wonderful scripture. If you have a Bible, please keep that in front of you there. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, on page 1078 in the church Bibles. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, as we spend time reflecting on your word, we pray that you yourself would teach us. Please show us more of your greatness, and please strengthen in us the gift of faith. Amen. Amen. I was listening to a podcast last week, and it suddenly became very emotional. And a man being interviewed is a highly successful journalist, won many awards, has served as a speechwriter to US presidents, And he was talking about his fascinating experiences and funny stories and things like that. And then suddenly, he began to speak about his grief. Because a few years before, his daughter, aged only 30 years old, had died. And he spoke so movingly about the effect that this had had on him and his wife, and the grief that they were walking through. It was a reminder to me that no matter how successful we are, no matter what grades we get at school, no matter what triumphs we have in the workplace, death and bereavement comes to us all. No, there are a number of us in the church family who are in that raw place of grief and bereavement right at the moment. There'll be others who reading this scripture takes us back into the pain of loss. All of us will face bereavement and death. Now, over this summer, we're looking at the great I am statements of Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. And today's statement, I am the resurrection and the life, takes us into the heart of bereavement and death. Because Jesus spoke these words to a woman, Martha, whose brother Lazarus had died just days before. And as this morning we meet the family of Lazarus and think together about these words of Jesus, we will see something that only Jesus Christ can do. Jesus does not take away the pain of bereavement, but he does transform it. We'll see that Jesus brings comfort to all who come to him in grief, and we'll see that Jesus defeats death for all who put their trust in him. We began our reading here in verse 17. And before we dive in, let me fill you in on what we didn't read in verses 1 to 16 for the sake of time. So in verses 1 to 16, we learn of Jesus' love for Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary. See that Jesus loved the three of them so very much. We also read in 1 to 16 about Jesus' surprising delay. Do you remember that? When the news of Lazarus' illness reached Jesus, he deliberately stayed where he was for 2 days rather than rushing straight to Lazarus' bedside. Just reminds us that Jesus' timing is often different to our timing. And then the other thing we read in verses 1 to 16 is that Jesus was risking his life when he went to Lazarus. Because Lazarus lived in Bethany, very close to Jerusalem. That's where the leaders who were plotting to murder Jesus were based. So by going to Lazarus, Jesus was actually going to the cross where he would die. Well, with that background in mind, we're going to explore verses 17 to 44 in three parts. Jesus' statement, Jesus' sorrow, and Jesus' sign. And my prayer is that taken together, these truths will bring us great comfort and hope. So first of all, Jesus' statement, verses 17 to 27. In these verses, Jesus makes a wonderful statement. I think that word's a little bit cold. It's really a passionate declaration that Jesus gives about himself and about why he has come. So we join the account in verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. It tells us that delay of 2 days that Jesus made, it didn't make him miss Lazarus' death. But it did prolong the family's bereavement. Verse 19, we learn that there were many Jews there comforting Martha and Mary. And when Martha hears that Jesus has come, she dashes out to meet with him. And verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, those are words of faith, aren't they? Martha trusts in Jesus' power to heal. I wonder if we also hear a challenge, an accusation in Martha's words. Lord, why did you delay? Why weren't you here? Lord, why have you let this happen? And I think we can all relate to that. When we lose a loved one, even if we trust in Jesus as Martha did, very often we have that question. Lord, why have you let this happen? Martha continued, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. As some have seen this as Martha hinting that Jesus will raise Lazarus then and there, but we'll see later that she's not expecting anything like that to happen. Most likely her words here are saying that she still trusts in Jesus, despite everything that has happened. And Jesus said to her, verse 23, your brother will rise again. Now, Jesus is being deliberately ambiguous. Is he referring to the resurrection at the end of time? Or is he talking about something that will happen more immediately? It's not clear. Verse 24, Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. The Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish Bible, had promised in Daniel chapter 12, for example, that at the end of history, on the last day, God would raise his believing people. And Martha thinks that Jesus is talking about that. And she says, yes, I trust in that. And then in verse 25, Jesus takes it a step further. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus takes the resurrection hope of God's people. And he says to her, it is all about me. Jesus says, I am the one who will raise God's people at the end of time, and I am the life that God's people will enjoy for all eternity. And he expands on that in the words that follow. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. The believer will die, and then they will live again. It's about the resurrection at the end of time. And Jesus also says in verse 26, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. In other words, Jesus gives a life, a relationship with him, which cannot be interrupted even by death. In that sense, the believer will never die. Now, people sometimes ask me, what happens to the Christian when they die? Do they just sleep until the resurrection at the last day? When we take the testimony of Scripture as a whole, we can see that there are two parts to the Christian's hope. There is our immediate hope. When the believer dies, that day our soul goes to be with the Lord Jesus, and we continue to enjoy relationship with him. And then there is our ultimate hope. On the day when Jesus comes again, the believer will be resurrected with a new body, and our souls and bodies will be together again in his new creation. And all of this comes from Jesus, who says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, please notice the enormity of what Jesus says here. Nobody else dares to speak in these terms. Who else would talk like this? One of the first rules when you're speaking to bereaved people is don't talk about yourself. This is no time for boasting. But Jesus precisely talks about himself and explains that he is the resurrection and the life. Even today, with all of our advances in medical science, no one would make a claim like Jesus does here. So a doctor, even the best doctor, might say, I can diagnose you with all the latest equipment. A hospital might say, we can care for you with the very best treatments. A life insurance company might say, we can compensate your family should the worst happen. Only Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I give life that never ceases, and I raise my people on the last day. And he adds, it all depends on believing and trusting in me. The statement that Jesus makes is beyond enormous. And notice at the end of verse 26, Jesus says to Martha, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I'm sure there's much that Martha didn't understand at this point, but she knew enough of Jesus. She'd experienced enough of Jesus to trust in what he said. She knew that he was the Messiah, God's rescuing king, and God's son come into the world. So friends, this is how Jesus comforted Martha in her grief. He teaches her. He brings her truth. He helps her understand more of himself and of who he is and what he does. He teaches her about the life that he alone can give. And he leads her to express her faith in him more deeply. Now we'll think in a minute about how Jesus comforts us also with his truth and about how we respond to his statement. But before that, let's see the very different way that Jesus comforted Mary. The big difference between how he comforts the two sisters. So we move now from Jesus' statement in verses 17 to 27 to Jesus' sorrow in verses 28 to 37. So verse 28, Martha returns to the house and she calls her sister Mary aside, saying, "The teacher is here and he's asking for you." And Mary dashes out to the place where Jesus is still waiting on the edge of the village. And those who'd been with Mary comforting her went out with her, supposing that she was going to the tomb. And in verse 32 we read, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died.'" Now those are the same words that Martha had used earlier in verse 21. Mary, just like her sister, she trusts in Jesus, but at the same time she's saying, "Lord, why have you let this happen?" And Jesus responds to Mary, not with a statement and teaching, but with sorrow and tears. See, Jesus loved both the sisters. They came to him with almost the same question, but knowing them, he comforts them in very different ways. Look at verse 33. "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." That phrase, "deeply moved in spirit," could be translated, he was outraged. Now, don't misunderstand this. Jesus was not outraged because they were weeping. He's about to weep himself. No, Jesus was outraged at the devastating effects of death in God's world. He was outraged at the pain that sin and Satan and death had brought into his creation. Imagine the response of a loving king who visits part of his kingdom. And he sees to his horror that a cruel enemy has invaded that region of the kingdom. And as the king sees houses destroyed and fields ruined, and as he sees bodies lying in the streets, well, the king is outraged at what this enemy has done. Must be how Vladimir Zelensky feels when he sees the destruction that Putin has brought about in Ukraine. Feels outraged to see it. In the same way, Jesus, when he sees the pain that has been brought by sin and Satan and death, is outraged. And also, verse 34, he's filled with sorrow. "Where have you laid him?" Jesus asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Now, Jesus was not weeping for his own loss. After all, he knows what he's about to do. He's going to bring Lazarus back. No, Jesus is weeping for Mary's sadness. As he sees Mary, who he loves, he enters into her sorrow. He shares her grief. He weeps with those who weep. Verse 36, the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" I think that's the same question again, but this time with more hostility and less faith. They're saying, couldn't Jesus, if he has such power, have stopped this from happening? We'll see something of Jesus' answer in a moment. But notice for now the beautiful difference between how Jesus comforts Martha and Mary. When Jesus saw Martha, he knew that she needed the ministry of truth. So he taught her about himself, about the life that he gives, and led her to express her faith. On the other hand, when Jesus saw Mary, well, he knew that what she needed at that moment was the ministry of tears. So he joined her in her grief and wept with her. And actually, all of us at different times in life need those two things, the ministry of truth and the ministry of tears. And the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ is we find them both perfectly in him. When we come to him, he knows what we need. He may teach us of himself. He may simply make us know that he is grieving and mourning with us. In Jesus Christ, we have that perfect combination of truth and tenderness. I'll think in a moment about how we experience that. But first, let's see Jesus' sign. See Jesus' statement, I am the resurrection and the life, to Martha. See Jesus' sorrow, Jesus wept with Mary. And now, third of all, Jesus' sign in verses 38 to 44. Now, in John's Gospel, as you know, Jesus performs a number of miraculous signs. The first one was the turning of the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. These signs are not exactly proofs of who Jesus is. After all, there were many who saw the signs, but were so hard-hearted that they still did not believe in him. Now, the signs are pointers, showing those with eyes to see who Jesus is and what he came to do. And these verses in front of us contain the last and greatest of Jesus' signs, not including his own death and resurrection. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. And Martha is eminently practical. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Very understandably, she has no idea what Jesus is about to do. And Jesus replies, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? She's about to see the greatness, the excellence of God displayed in his son. They take away the stone, and Jesus looks up and prays, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. It's a prayer of intimacy, Father. It's a prayer of absolute confidence. Jesus knows that the Father has heard his prayer for Lazarus's life and will answer. And the reason for the prayer is so that when Jesus raises Lazarus, people will know that he has been sent by God, that he is the Messiah, God's son. Verse 43. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And a dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. It was the most extraordinary demonstration of Jesus' power. And notice he did it with his word. With just a few words, he brought life to the dead. Now, we've recently got back from a week of holiday in Greece. And one afternoon, a stray dog followed us from the beach back to the apartment. So I tried speaking to the dog and I said, no, go back. And nothing happened. The dog kept following us. So I thought, well, maybe the problem is I'm speaking in English and I should be speaking in Greek. And I don't have any modern Greek, but I have got a smattering of New Testament Greek, which I love to use in the cafes, mainly to wind up the family and also to mystify the locals. So in my very best New Testament Greek, I addressed the dog, kuon, which I think means dog, uk, which means no. Nothing happened. The dog kept following us. Of course, my words cannot even control a dog. But the words of our Lord Jesus Christ controlled death. Lazarus, come out. And he did. The dead raised to life. Now remember, it is God who creates the universe with his word. Here we see Jesus with all the authority of God speaking, and the dead are brought to life. Now, the raising of Lazarus is not the same as the resurrection of Jesus himself. Jesus was raised with a new resurrected body, a body fit for the new creation, never to die again. Poor old Lazarus comes back with the same old body, and he would die again. A raising of Lazarus is not the same as the resurrection of Jesus, but it is a wonderful sign. It shows us that Christ is the Son of God, that he has power to defeat death, and that he is the resurrection and the life. So as we conclude, I'd like each of us to think, what is my response to this Jesus? See, all through this chapter, the theme of belief has been really strong. Remember, Jesus ended his statement to Martha, "Do you believe this?" The end of Jesus' prayer, he said, "I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe." Jesus wants us to believe and trust in him. Now, in loss and grief, we may still have that question, "Lord, why have you let this happen?" And very often, Jesus does not completely answer that question. But he does give us every reason to trust him. He gives us, for one thing, his statement, his promise, "I am the resurrection and the life." He promises that the one who trusts in him has life with him, which will never cease. And at the last day, he will give us new resurrected bodies. He gives us his statement. And then he shows us his sorrow. See, when we come to Jesus in bereavement, no matter what the circumstances of our loss, no matter the nature of our grief, we find in Jesus sympathy. He grieves with us. He mourns with us. And then finally, he gives us his sign. You see, if anyone else had said, "I am the resurrection and the life," you would dismiss it as the ravings of a madman or the deceit of a con man. But Jesus is different. Uniquely, he backs it up with his compassion and with his power in raising Lazarus and then ultimately in dying for our sin and rising himself to new life. There is no one like Jesus Christ who claims these things and who backs them up with his tender compassion and his total power. He is the one in whom we must put our faith. He is the only one who can bring us through death. And then, having trusted him, let's be those who come to him in our bereavement. Do you notice in the account how Jesus waited outside the village and he wanted Martha and then Mary to come to him? In the same way, Jesus wants us to come to him in our bereavement. In loss, it's very tempting to withdraw ourselves. But Jesus wants us to come and meet with him as we read the scriptures and to have fellowship with him as we pray. And we can trust that as we come to Jesus, he will give us the perfect mix of the ministry of truth and the ministry of tears, just as he knows we need it. Let's come to him in our bereavement, and let's trust him with our death. See, our culture has a great fear of death, and that's perfectly understandable. We've seen that death is an outrageous enemy in God's world. But the Christian need not fear death, because for us it is a defeated enemy. There was once a Christian man whose doctors told him there was nothing more they could do for him and he had just days to live. And he was so overjoyed at the prospect of being with Jesus that his happiness led him to recover. And he survived for several more months. See, as believers, we can have a distinctive attitude to death. Of course, we don't relish death. We grieve at the severing of relationships. We grieve the process of death. But we need not fear death itself, for we know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Let's have a moment of quiet and then we'll pray. Maybe there's someone here today who wants to respond in faith to Jesus for the first time. There'll be many of us who want to reaffirm our faith and trust in him. Here's a prayer that we can use. Lord Jesus Christ, you died for our sins, and you rose again, defeating death. And now you promise eternal life to all who trust in you. Lord Jesus, we place our faith in you. Help us to come to you in times of bereavement and know your teaching and your compassion. And help us to trust you in the face of our own death, knowing that with you there is life to come. Amen.